part classic detective work, part loving restoration. Akaroa Museum is now home to a rare, repatriated and restored piece of New Zealand's furniture history. The museum's curator, Daniel Smith, went in search of work by Banks Peninsula farmer and carver John Menzies and located a large, intricately carved pātaka cabinet of his in Australia. Daniel arranged to have the cabinet, made in 1890, shipped home and restored by William Cottrell, who specialises in colonial furniture. We have photographs of the restoration process and the finished product on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. First, I asked Dan why he's such a fan of Menzies' carving.
The thing that stands out to me is when I've seen his work, and this pātaka cabinet that we're going to be talking about is a brilliant example. It's just so gobsmacking, really. Even now, you know, when I'm in the gallery installing the exhibition, I look at this thing and it really stops me in my tracks. It's so lavishly carved. It's a really beautiful object. And when I started working at Akaroa Museum, which is a good 9 years ago now, I kept coming across Menzies here and there, a piece of his work. I visited his really beautiful carved and designed church, St. Luke's at Little Akaloa. I kept seeing his work, and it really stood out, but I could never really find very much out about him in the literature. Pure curiosity for me. And when I did start to find out about him, connecting to his descendants, he has this very kind of split life. He's very much a Banks Peninsula farmer, yet he left behind this incredible legacy of work. You know, there's well over 80 pieces of furniture that we've catalogued that exist out there amongst descendants, and now a few pieces in public collections. There's two Category 1 listed properties surviving out of, the three decorated houses he built in the one church. And there's also Māori patterns painted and carved, his 1910 publication. So there's this big body of work out there, and really it's, who was behind it, it just keeps me going.
So first of all, you identified John Menzies' work. How then did you come to identify a cabinet that wasn't even in New Zealand anymore?
I exhibited some of his furniture here at Akaroa Museum in, it was 2016, a few years ago. And following that, I realised I'd found out quite a bit about him, and I wanted to get it written up, basically. So I was lucky enough to get some funding, published an article in Records of the Canterbury Museum, which is an open access journal. And one evening at home, the owner of this pātaka cabinet gave me a call and said, how would you like to get this for your museum? And that's how it began.
What's involved in repatriating a very large, ornately carved piece of furniture like this?
Fortunately, I have some great colleagues at the Christchurch Art Gallery who handled all the difficult logistics. It had to be broken down and crated up, and it had to, go through all the security, biosecurity checks.
So and, fumigation?
Fumigated, yeah, absolutely. And then, it had to be reassembled. And fortunately, we have Dr. William Cotterill here who can make something that is old look, not new again, but certainly bring it back to its glory.
William, let me bring you in here. You were very excited about this work, weren't you? Why? Why is it so special? You've worked on some extraordinary pieces of furniture over the years.
Yes, this was just an astonishing thing. I mean, a work of art of this importance probably only turns up once a decade. And I have to say all credit to Dan for tracking it down and making this thing happen, and the Akaroa Museum. And I also have to say all credit to the Christchurch Art Gallery for recognising this as a major, major work of art. I know it's a piece of furniture, but it sort of crosses boundaries. It just speaks to you. I mean, Dan's right. It's a huge thing when you're in the presence of it.
How big is it?
Oh, I think it's over 2 metres. I've forgotten. I could barely get it into my workshop when I finally assembled the whole thing. It's just statuesque, and it's a statement piece if ever there was a piece of furniture.
Could you describe it for the listeners? We have some images on the web page, but this kind of has to be seen to be real.
Yeah, you do, you do. It's an interesting conundrum. It appears at first glance to be entirely Maori, but it's actually made by, as Dan said, John Menzies, the Sakaroa farmer, who's utterly focused on Maori motif. But the origins of the cabinet actually extend back. It's Reformed Gothic. It's so the beginning of the arts and crafts movement. There was a sort of throwback into history where ancient crafts were revived again, and a lot of what were considered sort of ethnic crafts were also introduced into mainstream furniture. And this mimics one of those architectural pieces that was started by a man called William Burgess, very prominent in the arts and crafts movement. And he made a series of architecturally formed cabinets. And this is actually New Zealand's version of that. It's an English-style cabinet, but entirely Maori in finish. It's decorated from top to bottom. Is nothing other than a New Zealand piece.
I've seen like the power eyes and the carving. I mean, it's really quite ornate, isn't it?
It is. It's a chiffonier, essentially. It's a food cabinet, and pātaka, of course, is Māori for the same. It's two doors at the bottom. There's two drawers above in typical chiffonier fashion, and then it ascends into this other sort of Māori house sitting on top. It's just a fabulous blend of European and Maori culture, just astonishingly well done.
So we heard that it was broken down and fumigated before it came here. So what condition was it in when it arrived in your workshop?
Well, I got it in two crates, and there were quite a few issues that I had to contend with, and some of them were a bit original. I mean, the easiest one, I think, was probably that it allegedly in the 1940s, I think, it had toppled over in an earthquake while it was still in New Zealand, and the back part of the pātaka was all crushed in. That was a fairly easy knitting experience to put the kauri backboards back together again. That's something I'm quite familiar with coming from Christchurch fixing earthquake-damaged furniture. One of the other things, though, it had been oiled extensively with something like linseed oil or something, and it was contaminated with dust and a lot of fibres that were sticking to it, so I had to decontaminate that. And perhaps the most interesting thing was that when I first saw it, I realised that it was missing its feet. We located an historic photo that had been taken in the 1920s, which still had its feet on, and then I mentioned this to Dan, and Dan, quite by chance, this is the most extraordinary bit of the lot, I think, said that he had remembered seeing, and maybe Dan, you could finish the story here, a piece of carving that looked like one of the feet. And sure enough, he found it. We got donated this 1 foot that had belonged to the cabinet, and then I made three more and a frame, and we've now put it back as it was from the original period photo that we have.
Dan, that is another extraordinary twist and an extraordinary story, isn't it? The chances of you recognising that.
Yeah, it makes me sound like a super good curator. Back to when I was doing the article, I tried to visit as many of the Menzies descendants who were within easy reach, and the Stanford family, who seem to get a lot of furniture from J.H. Menzies, a few of them were local. So that's where the foot turned up. It was in a drawer. No one knew why they had it. The descendants who'd lived with the pātaka had never known it to have feet. Yeah, it was completely news to them. When I've showed one or two of them photographs of it reattached, they seem, you know, mildly surprised. But, you know, William's right. It completely changes the look of the cabinet. It just looks right now, you know, whereas before it seemed too low. Having the feet, it gives it a space underneath, and it's gives it an added kind of elegance, really.
So how did it end up in Australia?
Menzies, never really carved his or made his furniture, did any work really for sale. It was always really gifted to his children, and it's the furniture, especially, has remained really on the whole in family hands. So it's sort of spreading down the family tree through the descendants and getting kind of further and further dispersed. And the vendor of the cabinet, he had inherited it, and he simply decided that he'd have to take it with him when he moved to Australia in the early 70s. So that's the point where it left the country. And, you know, it was just great that I think he decided that it was, you know, time that it came home, really, rather than, you know, putting it on the open market or something like that.
William, spending so much time with this Pātaka cabinet and looking up close at the quality of the carving and the workmanship that went into it, what strikes you about it? Is it remarkable in that way too, the craftsmanship, not only of the carving but all elements of it?
Well, I can't comment on whether his use of motif is correct or not, but it's really interesting looking at him, his work, Menzies' work as a cabinet maker. He broke a lot of rules. He did some really weird stuff in terms of cabinet making. It worked, but it's kind of a weird logic, the way he put the cabinet together. And I think the reason why the top had come off in the earthquake was because he had not followed conventional sort of cabinet making rules. We have since done a bit of work there to secure it, so if there is another shake, it'll stay together. But
was he more artist than cabinet maker, than furniture maker?
Yeah, I think this is, you're right, you're so right. What he did was he looked for objects to decorate. It's clear he was just passionate about Māori motif, and I think he just made objects that he could then embellish with, you know, just carve them top to bottom. There's just not a surface left untouched. And his work, when you think back then, it's all handwork, would have taken thousands of hours. I mean, for me to make the feet was not too hard. That's simple enough. But that was just a fraction of what Menzies would have done to do that. And then, as Dan says, well, there's over 80 pieces in several houses entirely decorated inside as well. I mean, this man was driven.
You and I have spoken before about your role, and you told me that your role is not to take an old piece of furniture and make it look perfect, like the day that Menzies finished it.
Yeah.
But given the damage suffered, the age of the cabinet, you know, when you're able to stand back and look at it, how does it look?
Well, I'm my worst critic, I think. I can never quite feel good about a thing, so I always look at it afterwards and I just see the bits that I've made or done or improved. But I think a casual observer would not think that it had had a particularly bad life. It's now looking very good, and I've you know, the people at the museums and galleries have complimented me well on my work. So I think in the end, it's a good result. It's very hard, I must say, working in collaboration with other people, because I have always my views about how to do a thing. And I have to sort of lay them out before a committee before I'm allowed to touch the thing. So I think we achieved a great balance, and the public will surely agree. It's one of those things where you never want your own work to show. You just want the original artist's work to be foremost, and it's such an amazing piece. I think, you know, it's got gravity and it's a very, very powerful object. There's no argument that the public will see it for what it is.
Dan, I think it's been a very emotional time for you too. So when it was first unpacked and opened at the Akaroa Museum, what was that moment like for you?
Well, I don't know about emotional, but it's certainly...
Oh, go on. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
A smug feeling of achievement, maybe. Like I say, you know, well, as William says, something like this doesn't turn up very often, and to have been part of it and been able to help push it along. And I think to have worked with my colleagues at the art gallery and, you know, bringing this back and showing it to so much of a wider public than we could on our own at Akaroa Museum, which is really quite a small little institution. To have it on display next year at the Art Gallery in Christchurch, you know, that'll be really excellent. It will open up a whole new lot of visitors, and a whole lot more people will, you know, come to appreciate J.H. Menzies. And I guess that was sort of, you know, something for me is, you know, I want him to be written into our art history here in New Zealand in a way that, you know, he hasn't really been present so far.
Who owns it now, as a matter of interest?
It's a co-acquisition between Akaroa Museum and the Art Gallery. So we co-own it, yep.
Are you expecting any conversations about misappropriation? William touched on this before, that at the time, Menzies was clearly in love with and influenced by Māori design. Mm. These are different times now, and this issue of appropriation and misappropriation swirl around us. What do you think?
Well, it's undoubtedly cultural appropriation, but I'd sure be blue if someone went along and saw the cabinet and that's all they could think of. I mean, I think all of these instances of appropriation in art, you know, need to be taken on the merits of each artist and each work, perhaps. I don't think you can kind of have a blanket opinion or approach to the subject, really.
Yeah, I think also just adding to what Dan said, I mean, nobody looking at this would say it's a bad thing. I mean, it's just so impressive. And you can tell the love with which Menzies approached the subject, and he treated it very respectfully. So I think it'll get approval right across the board.
A memorable one for you, William, after all these years of working on on period pieces of furniture?
Yeah, this is a different one. What I can't understand is really why was such a rich culture here that more Māori decoration is not found in locally made furniture. I mean, you find it in souvenirware, but you don't find it in these big, important objects. And what's so amazing about this piece is it had to sit in the largest room, the drawing room, the sitting room in somebody's house. I mean, it's an absolute eyeful. So it's not as though it was just a bit of frippery. I mean, it was a major, major piece in someone's house. So he really, really just wanted to embrace that cultural iconography.
William Cottrell and Daniel Smith. The John Menzies Pātaka cabinet is on show at Akaroa Museum before being moved to the Christchurch Art Gallery next year.